All right. Thank you, Sister Leah. That song will go along with the text I think the Lord laid on my heart for the night for just a little while. Won't you open your Bible to the book of Proverbs tonight? Go with me to the book of Proverbs and talk to you on the subject tonight, how to be happy. Way to be happy. How about that? Wouldn't you like to know that? Well, the Bible's full of it. Sure tells us many, many times over what the answer is. And I want us to look tonight, and we start in Proverbs. This word that I'm going to deal with tonight is just all the way through the Bible, especially in Proverbs, especially in Psalms. And we'll pick it up here to start with in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. I'll get this frog to leave me alone or whatever it is in my throat here, just kind of bothering me tonight. I thought I left him in the garbage can. How many of you, when you lift the lid on the garbage can, every now and then a frog jumps out? Anybody? Just mine? I knew I had a frog pestering me. No, that happens every now and then. When I hear my wife scream, I know it's a frog or a lizard. Something serious like that. Amen. Oh, how to be happy. Proverbs chapter 16. Look at it with me here in verse 20. And he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. There's a secret. That's it. If you look it up every now and then, and you'd find some great truths where God tells you to trust him. Psalms 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And you have those guaranteed promises to you, telling you what to do. Trust. I don't know what the dictionary exactly says. It probably says something like this, transferring our hope upon another. Trust. We demonstrate it all the time. Demonstrate it all the time. You're demonstrating it right now. Every one of you that's sitting down out there is trusting what you're sitting on. See? Do you ever think about it that way? We don't really trust if we don't put our whole weight on it. I think about the old grandpa that they got to go to the carnival, and of course they had some airplane rides, and the kids just kept on and kept on. He was scared of flying. They finally got him in the airplane to take a little trip around. So when he got off, they all came to him and they said, Grandpa, it wasn't so bad, was it? He said, I don't know. I never did put my full weight on that thing. Now, trusting is putting your full weight on it. I mean, just committing to it. One of the great presidents we had was Ronald Reagan, and of course in the battle in the Cold War and all with communism and Gorbachev and all that business back in those days. Reagan made a statement. He said, we'll trust, but we'll verify, talking about the treaties between us and Russia. Well, then, that's really not quite right. We'll trust if we can see what's holding it. Sometimes we have to trust when we can't see, when we don't see the props that's under, so to speak. And yes, I agree with him on what he was saying to the communists there, but at the same time, trusting God is a little bit different. Quite a bit different, of course. Of course. Now, here in the book of Proverbs, it's the book of wisdom. It'll help us out in so many practical ways. It teaches us by comparison. You'll find the word but, B-U-T, often in the book of Proverbs because it compares this with this. And generally, it's on this side of the street. And now, but we'll cross the street and it'll be something else. And between the comparison, you'll learn quite a bit. Now, there's many examples in life. We can go through so many different things. But There's some things about trust you need to know. It is possible to misplace your trust. Do you know that? It really is. If your trust is all man-centered, you'll be fortunate if it don't get misplaced sometime. Simple as that. Government, I hope you're not trusting government tonight. If you're trusting government, you ought to get a hold of some of the American Indians and ask them if the government keeps their word. Right? And now you don't have to go to the reservation to do that. It's all around us. Ever since the election, I'll tell you what, we've learned a word that is really true, and that's fake media. And the government is faking it every way, every way. I'm amazed. You heard me preach from this pulpit, and I keep on saying it. When Trump got elected, I said, God must have put him in with all the opposition. And then the opposition just kept increasing. And every time something else would happen, I'd say, well, probably they got him this time. And then he'd put his own foot in his mouth, and I'd say, surely they got him this time. But he's still standing. In the last little bit of news I saw last night, after I kind of got in a little bit late and before I went to bed, some of the, they've been saying, oh, it's going to destroy us with these tariffs against Mexico, trying to get Mexico to stop these migrants from just running, flooding in our border. And everybody was hollering about that. And then last night, the last bit of news I heard, they'd worked out a treaty and the stock market had risen to the highest level it ever been. Every time they think they got him, God kind of puts him back through. I remember a number of years ago when our school, Christian school, played football, and some of those years when we did real good. And one year we had a small ball player, a small runner in the backfield, and that kid amazed me because he'd run into a mob of tacklers, and somehow he'd come out the other side still going. And I think about Trump sometimes like that. They think they got him, but they hadn't got him yet. And that kind of points to me that God might be in that thing, amen. But man-centered, you gotta watch out. You gotta watch out for men because they'll trick you. False friends? Anybody ever? I wouldn't want you to stand up and give testimony. Everybody's had some false friends, hasn't they? Huh? I think I've told you a story. I won't get into details, but I remember when all us boys in the third grade in Little Georgia School decided we were going to whip the bully. None of us could whip him by ourselves, but we figured if we ganged up on him, we could whip him. So we ambushed him. And all my buddies convinced me if I just hit him, they'd all be with me. Mm-mm. That didn't work that way. When I finally got to where I could see, none of them hit him but me. And the truth is, you just better watch out. Trust in man can get really misplaced. And even as a pastor through the years, I found out the tribe of Judas is still alive. Yes, sir. Man will let you down. Bible warns you about trusting, calls it the armor of flesh. You got to watch out. Got to watch out for that. And, you'll have folks double-cross you. You'll have folks let you down. Now, I'd rather be double-crossed. Now, hey, that's a good old Western term. You got that, hadn't you? Right? You did grow up learning about double cross and the Saturday movies, horses, the men with the white hats and the bad guys. You did learn all about that, didn't you? I'd rather be double crossed than be the double crosser. I really had. But you know, in religion today, a lot of folks are being double crossed and don't know it. Now, it's sad. Some of the greatest deception is in religious deception. The people that flew the planes into the towers, the people that are strapping on suicide bombs and blowing themselves to bit, they're deceived. They're trusting their leaders that this is going to earn me into our heaven. I'm going to be up there with the 70 virgins. I'm going to be up there with all this. Osama bin Laden, you remember his name, don't you? Somebody said they get to their heaven, or when they get blown up, it won't be heaven. Somebody said it's going to be not Osama bin Laden, but Osama bin Laden. When they get up, they're going to find out all those promises were false. Nothing to them. They trusted the wrong thing. It is sad, though. I mean, we can joke about it and laugh about it, but they're trusting what some man has taught them. to the place they put their lives on it and blow themselves to bits and all the rest of that stuff and to be deceived. And it's a horrible thing to think about it, misplaced. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 7. He said there would be a time that in the future, talking about the judgment, when he said many will come before me and say, we've prophesied in your name. We've done wonderful works in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, folks, we all trust a lot of stuff in this life, but you better be right on what you're trusting for heaven. You better be right on what you're trusting to get you by God. And too many are going to be deceived. No doubt about it. You know, we're in the day and age Jesus talked about in John chapter 16. He said there'd be a time that folks would kill you thinking they were doing God a service. That's Islam up one side and down the other. That's the day and age we live in right now. It's a sad time. I keep getting letters from the missionaries and others over there and many of the rest of the world, Nigeria and other parts over there, where they're going in and killing whole villages for one big thing. They're Christians. They think they're doing God a service. Their God, their moon God, their false God, Allah. They're doing him a service. Kill the infidels. You know, we teach you around here as a good Christian, when we have the opportunity, we ought to tell others about Jesus. We ought to witness. We ought to be soul winners as best we can. They teach you ought to kill people to be one of their good members. Isn't that amazing? How can it get so far from the truth? Of course, we know the devil is behind that sort of stuff. But if we're going to be happy in a real, true sense, we better learn to trust God in the right way. In the right way. Well-placed trust. It's often beautiful. It'll take a whole lot of this fretting and worry away from you. Now, it's not just a switch you can turn on, but I'll tell you how you can gain and learn to trust, and that's God's word, obeying God. It'll increase trust within your heart, within your soul. I've joked about this before, but when I grew up, my grandma lived with us, and she always was fearing the worst. Mother and grandma both could always see the worst side of everything. Just, pessimist. I got some of that. I'm not going to deny it, but I work on it. You say, boy, he's preaching to us Sunday. I preach to myself a lot, too. And the truth is, I watch out because you know what? What we're doing is we're showing God we don't trust him when we worry too much, when we're fearful of everything. The psalmist said over there, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's the better side of things. It is showing God that we doubt him often when we worry about stuff that we shouldn't. I think it was old John Wesley, the old time preacher, that said, I'd soon sin as worry. Now I know what he meant. He meant it's showing a lack of faith in God, lack of trust in God was what he was talking about there. And well-placed trust is a very beautiful thing. God said that about Abraham. If you were to go over to Genesis 18, you'd find out where he said, I know him, talking about Abraham. He will command his children and his household after him, after Abraham. He'll train them to follow him, he said. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. Now, God said that about Abraham. That was a man called the friend of God. And even to the place, if you remember the story, where God told him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. And I believe in Abraham's heart, he'd done it. He had no idea the angel was going to stop his hand when he came down with that knife on the altar. He trusted God anyhow. I want to tell you, trust is often where you can't see what's ahead, but you have a promise from God and you hold on to it anyway. Most of us, I hope we could quote Romans 8:28. You know, all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called according to his purpose. all things work together for good to them that love God. Now the qualification is to them that love God, not just to everybody, but to them that love God. I believe I do with all my heart. I believe I love the Lord. If that be so, then can I trust him to take care of me when I can't understand what's going on? I mean, think about it, folks. You want to be happy in the Lord, it's a very real thing to learn to trust him anyhow. Through this ministry here at Landmark, through all these years, I've had time after time after time that I sure couldn't see the end. I couldn't see the answer. And yes, it was fearful many times. But somewhere deep inside, during even the greatest struggles that we went through as in a ministry, somehow I knew God was still going to take care of it. And if you want to sleep with peace, peace of heart and mind, you say, Lord, this is bigger than me, just bigger than me. I can't tell you how to do it, but I believe you are going to do it. And I'll tell you what, I could give you testimony that time and time and time again, I've had God answer prayer. I've had God bring it through. And you've heard my stories over and over, and much of it has to do with this ministry. And I still can point to all the things we could all point to that's been here a long time. That had to be God. That had to be God. And no telling what we worried about that never got here to hurt us. I mentioned Grandma a while ago. She was always afraid of the bad weather because she'd gotten in a bad storm as a young kid. Some of her family had gotten killed. So she always, every time it lightened or thundered, she started closing windows and doors and getting ready for the worst. To the place that my brother and I, we kind of got to where we could take it for granted. But it was very real to Grandma. She was very much afraid of it. Here in the early 90s, after Grandma had been dead for years, a big tornado came through that very area, those same farms where we lived, same houses, and just tore things up. I went up there to look and killed my cousin and his wife. I went up there for the funeral and so forth. And I couldn't help but think, Grandma, it finally come. The one you were looking for finally came right where she expected it to come. But she'd been long gone for many years. And I can smile about it because I can still see Grandma pacing the floor and worrying and all of that, you know. But the truth is, a lot of things that we expect to get us, never materialize, never come. And if we're going to be happy, we got to have peace in our heart. You're going to get that happiness, so to speak, that peace from trusting God. Listen, there's some bad things can happen to you, but nothing too big for God, nothing too hard for God. You're his child, you're born again. Look to him. He'll help you. You know, I look around and see some beautiful trust sometime. I see parents that kids trust, and parents that trust kids, and then I see the opposite quite a bit. When I speak of trust, you know, I know it's a vague thing in a little way with us. Let me give it this way. If you had kids, or maybe you got babies now, we're talking about the baby pictures back there from dedication the other night. Do you know those babies don't get up in the morning worrying about the stock market? Those babies don't get up worrying whether or not there's going to be food that day. They don't get up worrying that a storm's coming. They just trust. They just trust somebody loves me and gonna take care of me. Do you know, in a real sense, as a child of God, we ought to be like a baby? Trust our Heavenly Father. Those babies may not know it, but Mom and Dad may have had a bad week and they may be running low on groceries or something else, but God never has. And we need that childlike trust. And Jesus makes that comparison with the children. And it's a very real thing. I remember reading a story some long time ago where a house was on fire. And the fire trucks were getting out there and fighting it. And there was a young fireman that had just not long been with the crew. And he saw a little girl trying to get out of a window. And he ran up and he said, "Jump, honey, I'll catch you. I'll catch you easy. Jump, jump." But she just didn't jump. And an older man came up side of him and just raised his hands. And the little girl just jumped right in his arms. And he caught her. And the young man looked over at the older man and realized it was the fire chief. And he said, "Sir, why didn't she jump for me?" He said, "You don't understand. You're new with the company, but I am the fire chief, but this is my house, and that was my daughter." Think about it a minute. Listen, we have a relationship. I got a heavenly father. Loves me more than that fire chief loved his daughter. I can trust him anyhow. There's a big difference in who you trust. There really is. It's good to see folks get married and be married a long time and grow closer together and grow old together. I wish we had another system, but that's the way it works. And grow old together. It's good if you can keep trusting each other. It's good if you grow together, not apart. And that has to do, you say, "Well, I've been living with that rascal so long, I know where I can trust him and when I can't." Yeah. But if you get another rascal, he may be worse rascal. My dad told me this about old cars one time. I, of course, started out, and I was mentioning to Linda back there earlier tonight, teenager around here, old junk cars and early race cars and stuff. Of course, you know, I always wanted something better. By the way, the eyes of man's never satisfied. We always want something better, don't we? But I wanted something better. And I'd always keep an eye out to see if I could trade for something. And my meager wages, I couldn't trade for much. But I remember Daddy saying something to me one time. And some of you wives, some of you husbands might ought to even think on this a minute. He said, "Son, don't worry about trading your car." I said, "Dad, it's got this fault, it's got this fault. This is, you know, this is bad, this is bad." He said, "Yeah, and you know all about those faults, don't you? You may get something else. You don't know what bad faults are hiding in it." Apply that to marriage, some of you. You don't want to, do you? You say, "You mean I could get a worse one?" Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. Really could. Truth of the matter is, trust God where you're at. Let God fix what you got. And the fixing might be on your side instead of her side or his side. Amen? All right, some of you are not liking that, but you need it. You need it. Amen? Well-placed trust in the Lord is very, very important, very real if you're going to be happy. So what do you mean happy? I'm not talking about giddy happy. I'm not talking about giggling and dancing and jumping around. That's temporary stuff. I'm talking about a long-term peace, contentment. That's the kind of happiness I'm talking about. Not necessarily it makes you giggle or laugh, so to speak. And that's the kind of happiness we should want. It'll only come. It'll only come when you trust the Lord. Now, I don't know what you come in here with tonight. You probably I hope you haven't even been thinking about it here in the service, but what is it you're going to face? See, Monday's coming. Remember that cat in the paper that talks so bad about Monday? Right? There's something to that Monday business. But I don't know what you're facing tomorrow or the next day. God does. Secretary that was with me for many, many years used to have a little sign on the wall. Might still be back there somewhere. Says, "Help me, Lord, to realize nothing can happen to me today but what you and I both can't take care of it." Amen. That's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. Attitude is, I won't trust the Lord, good or bad. John R. Rice said one time, talking about answered prayer, talking about people asking and receiving and not asking and not getting and so on. He said he had a dream. And the Lord, he dreamed he went to heaven, and the Lord had an angel showing him around, and he was opening all the doors, various rooms in the mansions, and showing him. And so he opened a room, big room with all kind of wonderful things in it, all kind of gifts and pretty things in it. He said, Mr. Angel, what is this? He said, it's a room full of gifts that I wanted to give my people on earth, but they didn't trust me enough to ask me for them. Now, that was John R. Rice's dream. He probably had something he shouldn't for supper that night. I don't know. But I'm just saying, we are going to sometimes, I think, maybe we get to heaven, we're going to say, you mean that's what I worried about there? That's what I worried about there? And that's what scared me to death over there? Well, there was nothing to it. If I just trust God, he took me right on through it. Now, we're not in heaven yet, but we can look back on our past lives. And I almost guarantee you I could get testimonies tonight that somebody would tell me something they worried so much about, and it turned out to be nothing. Just turned out to be worthless. Nothing. Why was I afraid of that? Why did I lose sleep over that? How come I spent all that time and worry on that? I think all of us could look back in our lives and see something like that. I'm not saying you got to have on rose-colored glasses all the time. I'm not saying you got to not face reality. You don't have to deny reality, but trust him anyhow. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me. Job also talks about, there's a verse over in Job talks about a man putting his trust in the wrong thing. It says like he's hanging on to a spider web. There's a story told about a high rock climber that went to some of the high-rise buildings, I don't know, New York, Chicago, wherever it was, in the early years, and he'd draw a crowd as they watched him scale one of those tall buildings. And this is supposed to have factually happened. And as they were watching him, and he was getting near the top on one occasion, they saw him reach and reach, and he was kind of stalled. He was trying to find one more handhold, one more good handhold. And then finally they saw him kind of make a little leap and grab, and he came down to his death. When they got to him on the sidewalk and opened his hand had a big wad, a big glob of spider web in it. He thought it was a protruding rock, but it wasn't. Book of Job mentions trusting in a spider web. There are things that'll fail you, but God won't fail you. Put your trust in him. He's solid. He promises to take care. And I think we're all going to be ashamed in heaven that we didn't trust him more. Trust him more. See, trust will prove out. You can trust what God said. My problem is not that God didn't say it. My problem is I don't believe it and accept it and rely on it like I should. That's the weakness of the flesh. God's word, never more proven than it is today. Somebody was talking to me, somebody in the military was talking about the ships over, we're over there face to face, as it were, right now with Iran, and could be a great big war and all that. And somebody asked me, said, I had some military inside information, and is it going to be a war? I said, sure there is. So how you know? I said, because God said there was. And it's being fulfilled. Is it going to be tomorrow? I don't know. Is it going to be next week? I don't know. Is it going to be 5 years from now? I don't know. But it'll happen. Just like God's word said, it'll happen. It'll happen. You can trust what God says, what he said in the book. And it's gonna prove out, no doubt about it. God foretold it all. And you know, that ought to encourage you and I to understand he knows the end from the beginning. We can trust him with every bit of it. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And we just need to trust him. You know, he tells us who to trust to go to heaven, don't he? The sad truth is, there's a side of me that certainly feels sorry for the religious crowd that's deceived, like the Muslims thinking they're going to kill their way to heaven. That is terrible. I hate it that so many are deceived under the guise of this is the way to get it. Get in the gate. No, you're not going to get in the gate your way, religion's way, some church's way, some man's way. You're only going to get in with God's way.
Right.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one can get you in the gate. We all come into that gate sooner or later. Many of you know when I use the word name Wallace Roberts. Wallace was one of my deacons here. Long time before he was one of our deacons here in church, he started out in my teen department. I think I first remember Wallace, maybe he was 13, 14 years old. And teen department when I was youth leader in Winter Haven. And Wallace, later on, by the grace of God, after I came here to Haines City, God moved him over here, and he became one of my deacons. Hardworking man, honest man, good Christian man, great bus worker, and just anything that he saw to do, he'd do it for the Lord. And then Wallace got cancer. In fact, I was on a trip to Israel and got a phone call that they diagnosed him very seriously, terminally ill with cancer. And they'd given him 6 months. I don't think he made the 6 months. I think it was a little less than 6 months. When I got back, I saw him often as he began to go through the cancer fight. And was with him right on till he took his last breath. And it was a sweet home going. God called him home. But they did do some surgery to try to help him almost immediately, and it was too late. They said it was always too late. Wallace told me this, told his wife, told Judy, and told several this. He said, when they did the surgery, he said, I went all the way to heaven's gate. Somebody find out who's talking back there, because I'm not going to pay them. I'm getting paid for this. I'm joking at them now. I don't know what's going on. Let me finish this. Wallace told me, said, when I was under, he said, I went to heaven's gate. He said, literally, I was there. He said, I was actually expecting to go in. He said, very clear to me. He said, they told me at the gate, you got to go back for a while. We're not quite ready for you yet. And so he did go back for about 4 months. But when that night he finally took his last breath, I said to him, I said, well, they let him in the gate this time. See, he had a pass key to the gate. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew him, served him, trusted him. I want to say to you, nothing brings any more peace and makes you any happier than knowing you're going to get in the gate because of Jesus. Most of us don't want to go ahead of our time, and we've never done it before, so there's a certain fear about it. But brother, if you've got the trust that you know Jesus is going to be the one to let you in. Somebody said a man is never ready to live till he's ready to die. And you'll never be ready to die until you know the Lord Jesus Christ that loves you and died for you. And to know him, to trust him. Now all your trust is in him, not in your good deeds or your membership or something else, but trust him. That makes you happy. Makes a journey to heaven a lot more precious, more real, more genuine, more peaceful as you go. Amen. Do you know him tonight? I hope you do. If not, you could come and receive him as Lord and Savior tonight. I pray you would. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation. Father, we commit it to you. Lord, if I know my heart tonight, I'm trusting you with it all. This life, the life to come, the problems in this life, the challenges that'll come, the things that'll go wrong, and the things that'll go right, but I trust you anyhow. And like old Job, even when it's bad, I thank you for the grace to still trust you. Bless the invitation tonight. If there's one here without the Lord Jesus, one teenager, somebody else, I thought about it this afternoon a little bit. Father, I wish I could have heard the clear gospel about Jesus when I was a teenager. I'd have saved a lot of scars, a lot of pains by receiving him, I believe, even then. But I didn't hear then. I thank you, Lord, that I did get to hear, did get saved. And I pray for those that might even be in the building tonight or in radio land tonight. Maybe they've heard for the first time they can receive Christ and be saved. I pray for them tonight. Even in this invitation, if there be one in the building, that they would come and receive the Lord Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing. All